Hello, what's up? It's the After the Rose podcast, a Bachelor Nation podcast where we talk about all things Bachelorette. As always, it's me, Molly Leitch.
And me, Megan Cruz.
What's up? We're in Seattle. We're at Megan's house this week.
Extra glamorous, just like last week.
We're in the studio. Like our professional producers.
Yeah, shit. Watch out for that boom mic.
Yeah. It's going to be so unprofessional and it's going to hit us in the head. You're going to see it.
It's like in movies. Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the joke. So, yeah, all right, so this week we're going to talk about the last two episodes of the show, week 2 and 3.
And that is because we've gotten behind a little.
Because we're busy people, and, like, you know, we're in over our heads, man. Jesus Christ.
I know, passion can only take you so far. You also need time and money, and we don't have a lot of either of those, I don't think.
These kinds of shows, it's really like, I mean, it's weird that I'm going to like talk about how they're bad because I really do want people to listen to this show, but it's like a show like The Walking Dead, right? So after The Walking Dead, they have a show called The Talking Dead that is the same length as The Walking Dead where they talk about the fucking show. It just seems like... It's just a lot of media for a really awful, stupid show on ABC, but we're in it now.
There's just no going back, I think, you know. And I find myself just scouring for more and more information, and it's like, well, you've really seen it all, but yeah. We're going to...
And if you're like us, like, we're the source. The information is here. We're going to give you... I mean, actually, we don't have anything, like, we don't have any privileged information we're just going to talk about.
Are you sure?
I mean, you did read the U.S. Weekly. You liar.
I did it. And isn't it called Us Weekly?
Oh.
I don't know. But I might have read it, but there was nothing, there were no spoilers in there.
You might have read it.
I did read it.
I came into Megan's room and I see sitting on the bed, all my life I've been calling this U.S. Weekly.
Like, I thought maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. I mean, U.S. Weekly implies that it's like a news thing, and I think it's like Us Weekly, like me and the celebs, like us.
You and me.
Anyway.
Me and you.
So yeah, I look, and on her bed, Bachelorette sex scandal, Caitlyn, with like the side hair. And the quote, "I'm not ashamed," and I'm just like, this magazine is filled with spoilers. Get it out of here.
I just thought it was a symbol of my depression. That was my depression as of late.
Megan loves spoilers. I hate them.
I know. You know, if I'm gonna watch it, I'm gonna watch it both ways. Like,
I want to watch it in the order.
I read the last line of a book first.
You do not.
I do. I won't buy it unless if it's a suspenseful book.
If I like see the last page and like I'll like cry.
If it's like a suspenseful book, and then I like to know what happens, so then I can enjoy the writing and not feel pushed.
Oh my God.
How are we
so
friends?
Wrong? Oh man, I want it to lead me along the.
Oh, oh I just oh, you're tapping. I was sorry. I'm like your mom. Sorry,
you don't need.
You actually said that to me before. That I'm like your mom. Sorry.
You guys just both are lovely.
Oh, good.
Anyway,
all right, back to it. Dorothy couldn't join us.
Forget about her. Yeah, she's in the car. She's sleeping.
So we're gonna. You want to lead us in? We're going to do a little bit of coverage on week 2, go into week 3, which has even more, just more crazy.
Week 3
antics.
Is when the wheels really fall off this thing. Like, week 2 is, I mean, the thing about The Bachelorette is the first few episodes, like, they're, you know, the drama is just unfolding. You're just starting to get to know the characters, and, like, a lot of, like, when there's so many men... They're often indistinguishable from each other. So, like, once, like, the next few weeks is when it's really going to start to get good. But, okay, so week 2, so as always, we start off with a group date, like, which is a totally normal thing where one woman goes on a date with, what, like, 6 or 7 dudes.
Right, totally normal.
So what did they do, Megan?
Oh, they do some sports ball. They go boxing, which I feel like there's a lot
you
of...
You cannot call boxing sports ball. There's no ball.
Sports mitts. There's a lot of sportsing.
Caitlin's a sporty girl. I know. I'm not impressed with her punch.
Those really high-waisted shorts that boxers wear. And Layla Ali comes on, which is cool. And they go boxing. These are not dates to me, though. These are like...
I think it would be such a blast.
Things you do on a quirky Saturday, you know, but that's not, I don't know, there's no romance to that in my mind.
Well, okay, but that's, Megan, on a group date, how are you going to have, like, what, like a romantic candlelit dinner for seven?
Like, I kind of like, what if they all cook together?
Too many cooks in the kitchen. Literally.
Too many cooks. No, I think that'd be perfect. You'd see, like, you could do sort of like a food.
You could do, I bet Kay is a name.
I think, like, you could have them all prepare different things.
They've had cooking dates before, but they're generally one-on-one.
Yeah. Well,
the best of all is, and this is, like, apropos of nothing that we're talking about today, but once a season they have a two-on-one date and there's nothing
wrong. Oh, yeah, that one's great.
Yeah, that one's really good. I can't wait for that one. But,
I predict, I don't know.
It's too soon.
Yeah.
Boxing, I feel like boxing is a pretty good... So, we were going to talk about this later, but usually, like, in past seasons, often on these group dates, they would, like, the group date is, like, a contest, so it's, like, and that's why it's often a sporting thing. Like, the sports thing, Megan, is not new. Like, they do this all the time. They did roller derby or, like, beach volleyball or basketball. Like, they're constantly...
Or miming.
Miming is... Yeah, but it's, like, a competition, right?
Right.
Like, and I mean... One thing that it does is it forces, like, all of the men to, like, take off most of their clothes. Like, that's why there's no overweight people on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, because, like, so much of what they do is, like, all right, now we're gonna, but...
Oh, yeah.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the sumo wrestling.
Oh, my gosh. That, yeah.
But, so, to me, boxing is, like, that's just par for the course, but,
Yeah, and the big things that happened there, I think, were that... Koopa set himself up for failure by not engaging with Caitlin. And then in the big the big sports and contest, Benzie knocked out Jared. Facial hair. I like to think of him as someone dressing up like a tiger for Halloween because of his facial hair. But, yeah, so he ends up going to the hospital with a concussion. And he pulls that out well. Like, he pulls it out as, like, he looks tougher in her eyes, but...
This show is, like, it's starting to get really surreal to me, and I mean, like, there have been many, many seasons.
More surreal than the premise itself.
Well, just because, like, it's sort of like the way that fashion, like repeats every 20 years or something. It's just, like, the same shit happens season after season. Like, always on these group dates, somebody gets hurt and, like, has to be shipped off. It might be just that, like, producers on, like, reality shows are, like, too cautious and, like, will always send you to the hospital, but, like, it always happens. Like, Nick on Andy's season, like, remember he was in the hospital? He was, like, wearing those shorts.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She went to see
Why did he go to the hospital?
He got hurt on a group date. Like, I don't remember what, but yeah. A horrible miming accident.
That was my first real taste of, like, the kind of public humiliation that happened, you know?
Andy humiliated them a lot. That was, like, sort of her thing. Like, I mean, it's all, they're all, I mean, sumo wrestling's humiliating, like, doing stand-up comedy when you've never done it before is humiliating, like, all of this stuff, but... So the boxing day, whatever, like, yeah, Koopa's black, and that'll come up later. I'm not just, like, saying that... Whatever, like, it comes up, like, he was just, like, recalcitrant and, like, didn't talk to Caitlin and is acting all shy and weird, and it blows up at the end of the episode, but, the Tony, the healer.
Oh, yeah, he's in the audience, which that was the thing that I was a little bit, I guess in both of the dates, they have everybody come watch them, which I guess I'm just realizing there are no rules here. I had mistakenly, like in some kind of logical fallacy, assumed that the first seasons that I watched, the rules were...
Megan was like, it's not fair that the guys that aren't on the group date get to come watch the group date. Like,
yeah, it seems
it
like...
It doesn't matter. They all, like, live together in the same mansion.
I know. It's like... But, like, even in the poly community, they have those weird, or not, I guess not, in the, never mind. I'm just thinking about this weird time when I, you know, when I lived in Portland, people would be like, well, this is my boundaries, you can't come to this place, and, like, la la la. I'm taking this too far in another direction. But, at any rate, so, we had the boxing day, Jared's hospitalized, Koopa's skating on thin ice, and then Clint, who to me, I don't know, he looks weirdly like a, like, I don't know, like a Swedish milk model or something. Like
he's got like the blonde slicked back hair.
I find
he's
it so like grossly unattractive.
Very muscular. Yeah.
They went on an underwater photography date, which like? How does she keep her makeup like so nice? I want her makeup, Brit's lipstick. Then my life will be complete.
Clint sort of looks like Heath Ledger at his worst.
Yeah. He does have a Heath Ledger-y. Like, thing
towards the end there when he was taking the pills. No, I don't, we don't know. I don't know.
I always told you there'd be inside info. Molly was there.
My wild speculation on like some stupid celebrity gossip from 5 years ago. Yep.
So there was that.
He was murdered. Not, no.
It was Courtney Love.
He just, like, took too many pills and fell asleep and never woke up. It's not a big deal. Anyway. Oh, I know. It's so sad. Anyway, let's not talk about Heath Ledger anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so
the underwater photography date, like, I had forgotten that it was Clint, because Clint comes up a lot later in week three, and, like, it was very unmemorable to me. Like, according to Kaylin, they really connected, quote-unquote, but,
yeah,
like,
she was like, we had all the, we had the kisses underwater, we had the kisses halfway out of the water, if, we had like, the kisses on dry land.
If all like, it takes to connect with Kaylin is to kiss her, then, like... Yeah, I mean...
James. Well, I mean, it's really all it took to connect with Chris Soules.
That's true.
So, that old guy. I also like how, on the comedy date, so seeing into the comedy date, which was next, and they had all of
another group date.
Yeah, and all of the Jimmy Kimmel visit on the last episode, or on last the last season. Amy Schumer came on, which was amazing. But I feel like she didn't get to showcase herself that as much as I
think she's going
to
be back. I don't think it's really? Just one. But I could be wrong about that. I feel like she's going to be in more than one episode, yeah. Like, yeah, when she was on, she was really hilarious. Like, she made fun of the guys. Like, she called JJ a turd.
Yeah. And I like how she calls bullshit on the idea that, like, so you want to marry a farmer is a good thing, you know? Where she's just like, are you glad you're not on the back of a tractor right now?
Yeah, totally.
Because it's true. It's like, oh, now I'm suddenly just with this dope, like, on this farm. Yeah. And we need to get a check-in on Whitney and Chris, too. Yeah, we talked about that last week, and we still haven't done it.
I forgot to Google whether they're
but farm. I liked how they brought in all the female comedians. I liked that. Mm-hmm. I like the, like, power swap of The Bachelorette, which is why I like the way they both have to show how tough they are and also be okay with the with everyone else, you know, with being in their weird.
It's such an interesting, different dynamic when it's a bunch of bros versus a bunch of women. Like,
yeah.
Mostly they do seem to just, like, get along and be friends. I mean, they have no choice, but, like, you know, there's always, I don't know.
Well, yeah, and I just love watching, like, waiting to see which way it tips when either they're, like, pissed off that somebody has gotten ahead with her, or they're like, give the guy a chance. Give the guy a chance for love.
Yeah, the bros usually often have, like, so usually they have, like, this code. It's like, okay, well, like, you haven't gotten a chance to talk to her this week, so, like, you go ahead and go first. But then, like, a couple of the guys are like, fuck the code.
Yeah, and then everybody gangs up on them for a minute, and there's always a tipping point where it's like, I think it's sort of like having alliances where at a certain point the alliance is going to crumble because you realize you're there.
There can only be one. It's like the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
For the millionth time we've compared. it's a salient comparison.
But we were going to recite some of the, like, one of the crazy things that happened in the comedy, I guess the big thing, is that Tony the healer, who still has a black eye, gets up on stage, and he's constantly repeating himself. Like, he seems obscenely vacant in this way.
It's just, like, the most cliched, like, healer, like, love sentiments, like, and all about how he's just, like, a totally balanced, in-tune person, when really, like, he couldn't be less self-aware, or, like...
I think he keeps saying later that he sees the world through the eyes of a child, has the heart of a warrior...
He's like
the soul of a gypsy.
He's like, am I like a perfectly balanced, like Zen, amazing being?
Yes. My favorite.
Am I an asshole? Yes. I'm balanced. It's like, yeah, that's everyone all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And he likes to talk about everything that he sacrificed, including tending to his bonsai trees.
What?
I call bullshit. That part. Tony doesn't have any bonsai trees.
I feel like bonsai trees are known for like not needing a. Oh, I guess they need constant pruning.
Yeah,
I shouldn't claim to know anything. I remember it's been a long time since I've seen Karate Kid Part 3.
I just I don't know, he is one of the people that begs the fourth wall question or the Montreal screw job question of whether or not, like, is he really that crazy or is he a performed
man, you know? I really think that these are just all their real awful personalities. I want to think that. This is not interesting to anybody else, but Tony really reminds me of my friend back home in Michigan, Wade. Wade. If he were on the bat, that's exactly what he would act like. He's like a horrible alcoholic. I haven't talked to him in like 7 years.
Is he going to listen to this?
Not a chance.
Okay.
No, that's not likely. I don't know. He doesn't know how to use a computer. You know, he's like one of these timeless weirdos. But like, he would just be like, Molly, I just want to like talk to you about tonight. And what we're all feeling, and like, you know, the moment. And
you love that kind of talk.
And like, does your mom have any beer? Like, can we get beer? Like, but this is.
You love it. Like, oh, you love the processing.
I don't like cliched, lame things. Like, I believe in like yoga and magic and like being like, and meditation and being self aware. I don't believe in it being like a just. Ridiculous sad gimmick and like just egotistical perception of yourself, and to talk about it in those terms all the time, and it's just like, it's embarrassing. Like, the fact that his comedy was so bad is indicative of like,
well, I don't know if he even thought he got to the comedy or what. Like, that was what we were going to show, what like we were going to read, right?
I would, like, we tried to, so I wrote down his entire comedy routine because it was just like a total train wreck, and then I tried to like read it to see if it would be interesting, and it's just not. But like, I mean, just like a little snippet, like, I stand here humbled, and you know, thank you for the opportunity. You know, I basically feel capable of anything. I'm mostly sort of just very deep in tune guy and very sensitive. Like, and then it is on and on. Like, he's just talking about how he's happy about the opportunity. Like, he's a sensitive guy. Like, this is the moment. I think that he was, like, he thought that he could get up there and just, like, riff, like, free associate, and, like, the jokes would come. But, like...
I feel like that, yeah.
It was aggressively unfunny. Like, I mean, like, there's no jokes, so it's not, like... Yeah, it wasn't, like, he tried to be funny and wasn't. He was just making a speech, and...
And then he got depressing. Sort of aggressive at the end. He's, like, a weird baby. He really sort of, like... bullied, and you said that he was like bullied and then got angry later because he
oh yeah, my theory about Tony is that like he was like a nerd in high school, like just like couldn't get laid and was just like awkward, so like the way he combated that was like just like martial arts or like physically training, like yoga and like shit like that, so like his body is like all grizzled and taut, and like he's like he, you know, like he was an ugly duckling or something, and now he's like decently looking, so like, and now like he's just acting like a person who used to be, like, a nerd, and, like, is still a nerd, like, still has those personality traits that people respond to and pick on, but, like, you know, in a yoga man's body, so.
Yeah.
That's my theory on Tony.
With a top bun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he wears the top bun. I've dated more than a few guys that have done that.
I kind of wear a top bun, but I think it's a little different. Yeah, I like to think it's a little different.
I mean, night and day. It's fine.
Thanks. Thank you. But so that the comedy went, I mean, they didn't really, I wish they would have let us see JJ's comedy, but they kind of cut him off because I think he's coming, you know, sort of like going to be coming to the forefront as a sort of, like, villain, loud personality. Mm. And they didn't... I wish they would have contrasted him, which it makes me think it was pretty banal. So.
Well, he... He said to Amy Schumer, like, I think I'm smarter than 90% of the people here. And she was like, you're not.
that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, she called him a turd. That was awesome. The one part of his they showed was he came on right after Tony. And he was like, oh, fuck Tony, right? Like, he didn't say fuck Tony, but, like, he led with a joke that made fun of Tony. Like, so that was all right. Like, that was good for his comedy, but I don't remember what it was. None of them were funny. I mean, they're not, like, it's not easy to be funny, like, you know.
You've done stand-up comedy before, right?
No.
Oh, no? Why did I think that?
Because I just, like, every time I say...
You're so hilarious.
Because every time I say that I'm thinking about doing stand-up comedy, and, like, my friends pause for, like, a fucking second and aren't, like, immediately enthusiastic, I become enraged. It's like, fuck you guys.
I legit thought you'd done it before. Maybe you were just always talking about going or something.
I'm constantly talking about doing it, but as the seconds tick on, I just... Ah. What is it? Oh, my God.
Nothing.
Megan's got, like, a 1993 pager, dude. I told her to turn off her many phones. God damn it.
Well... All right, moving along. So that episode.
Oh God, we have to get to the Koopa stuff.
I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah, it's like, awkward for us. Like,
yeah, it's difficult because I think that, like, I was just super nervous at the end because Koopa, like, you know, he and Caitlin get in this conversation and she sends him away, and then they're sort of like. There's this moment where he is being very, it's like he's being both defensive and aggressive at the same time, and it seems like the cameraman is coming at him, and it felt like there was so much of the conversation that he and Caitlin were having about race, and it felt like it was this big setup to make it seem like, oh, like, here's a black man who's worried he's, like, being treated differently, but she's treating them all the same, you know? Yeah. And it just, I don't know, it felt gross to me, but...
I mean, it's one of these common refrains that always happens, because it's always the case where it's a mostly white cast, and then there's a couple of black bachelors or bachelorettes. And, like, it's, like, the whole, like, oh, why does the black guy get killed first in the movie? Like, you know, like, whatever. Like, they usually don't do well. And, I mean, like, I think that Koopa was probably having a genuine, like, bad social experience of being, like, a minority and, like, you know, a situation where everybody's, like, white and handsome. Like, he sort of just, like, lost it. He was like, you know, this process works for JJ, it works for, like, you know, Cupcake, it works for these people, it doesn't work for me. Like, they're, and it's like, I feel for him, it's true. Like, if you're gonna be on that show, like, that's going to be a feature of your personality, and that's what we're going to see. It's going to be like, okay, there's the three black guys, and then, like, the rest of them, like, so I think that, like, I think he was genuinely frustrated, and, like, it was awkward for him, and, like,
yeah, I guess my question wasn't even about his reaction so much as, like, how they spliced the episode, like, whoa, like, here's this dangerous guy being crazy, you know, being, like, I don't know.
He's like, what do you want me to say? I'm upset that I didn't get a rose and blah. Let's just, like, do the interview and, like, be done with it. I think that being on that show is fucking stressful, and I think that people lose it, and I think that they were trying to make it dramatic. I don't know. The way that Caitlin handled it it was all right. Like, I don't know. She was sort of like, I thought we had a connection until now, because, like, he was coming at her really aggressively. He was coming at her like it was her fault, like, that she was keeping him around as a token black person. And, like, for her, I think it was just like, what? I'm just, like, making out with all these dudes. Like, I'll get to you, you know? Like, yeah. I don't think that she was, like, deliberately, like, ignoring him or had engineered, like, socially engineered, which is, like, because that's just not how the world works, but.
No, and I guess, like, I just wonder, like, if it had been the dentist or if it had been JJ or something who'd gotten kicked off and made a big scene, if they would have. Mm. If they would have, like, spliced him coming at the camera all aggressive, you know, or if it's, like, that's the part. Yeah, it's, like, the editorial decision to be, like, here's this threat, you know. But I guess that's my question, as opposed to how the conversation went down.
I guess I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah,
just the editorial decision to be like, oh my God, like, what's going on out there?
Well, I mean, like, I think that that's what happened. Like, I mean, like, she was inside giving the interview. You hear him outside, and she's just like, what? Oh my God. Somebody's raising their voice. Blah. But it's true. I mean, like, that could happen to any number of people, and it doesn't make the air. You're right. Like, so...
But, anyway. But so, yeah, that was, I mean, then they, so they cut week, I mean, they ended week two there, and they picked back up in week three, and it sort of went out with a whimper.
It ended, this was so funny, it ended, to be continued week two, and I was watching, with my ex, Phil, who, like, is my roommate, like, we were watching the show, I know, whatever, and he's...
I like to call him Captain Phil, because he works on a boat.
He doesn't like that, because he's a maritime civil engineer.
Oh, he doesn't like...
No, he's like, fuck the captain. Like,
in
the
my captain mind, doesn't... he'll always be a captain.
Just like boxing is sports ball.
There's only one position in every career.
It's ridiculous. But, well, first of all, he said, he was like... Dude, Bachelorette is so, like, I hate it because there's not a lot of babes. Like, he's just like, this sucks now that it's just a bunch of dudes. Like, he's like the straightest person. It's gross. But, but then, no, so, like, we're watching it. First of all, he was complaining about the show because there weren't enough hot chicks. He was like, Caitlyn's not even that hot, which I was just like,
Did you see those leather pants?
How dare you? I think the leather pants were in week three, but they were amazing.
Oh, God, they were so good. Oh,
she looks so good. I was telling Megan that I'm going to reorient my entire life to, like, wear those leather pants someday.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Starting
tomorrow, man.
And then we'll have to fight over the same pair of leather pants.
They'll sell more than one pair. I'm like 6 inches taller than you.
Yours will be leather capri.
The sisterhood of the traveling. We're too fat for these
pants. I know. They'll be the capris / pants.
No, I'm not. See, that's the thing. Short people are like, what? Just wear capris. It's like, no. God. Anyway,
capris are so gross. Yeah, I used to wear gauchos a lot when I was younger.
You're the worst.
I know, but I loved gauchos.
But anyway, Phil was like, so when it said to be continued, he was like, what? He was like, this is bullshit. Where's my rose ceremony? I'm like, and I was like,
I know, he's totally a member of Bachelor Nation. I was
like, Bachelor Nation. He was like, no.
Yeah, like, you watched it at his house because he really wanted to watch it.
Man, when you didn't come over last night to watch it, he was like, I know I feel stupid. I bought stuff for tacos.
Oh, Bachelor Nation. I'm just having a... I was having, like, a sad, like...
Yeah, Megan wasn't up for it.
I wasn't. I just... Phil and I was so tired. I know, I'm jealous. I should have come over now. Come over next time.
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Just right, one taco under the bridge.
We got to rally because we're about to talk about week three.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should just pause for Megan. What do you
think? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, people got eliminated at that rose ceremony. I think the guy Corey, I think his name was.
So, no, okay. So, week three, next week, this is what happened today. We're recording on Tuesday, so it was last night. We're recording on June 2nd, so this is last night. Just frame of reference. This show will probably go up tomorrow, whatever. Okay, week three, rose ceremony.
Yeah, so she eliminates a couple of guys.
I don't remember who they were.
Well, one was a guy with a kid, and she tried to do this thing where she's like, I really liked him, and he's really funny, and I was actually really attracted to him, but I just think he should be home with his daughter, and it's like
JJ has a kid too, doesn't he? I mean, like,
yeah, and it's also just like, I think one of the interesting things is, like, you finally get, like, a chance to have to own it and just be like, you have to go, I don't want you, and... She's trying really hard.
It's like, I have a strong connection with every single person in the... I don't know how she has I've had a connection with, like, 9 people total in my entire life. Like, I don't know how.
I get the connection, but, like, she can't have the, like, you want to be my husband connection with all those people. And that's the thing. It's like, she finally gets the chance to say that without fault, but I think it's also...
Every week, they're like... This is the hardest week. It's just getting so hard. Like, the rose ceremony.
I know.
It's like the Biggest Loser every week on the Biggest Loser. They're like, this was the hardest workout yet.
She is more, I guess, sort of accommodating to people than I had expected. especially, like, she keeps Tony the Healer around for that. Like, he was clearly crazy, right? Like, and she's very, she talks him through, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but.
I think that she, to contradict you a little, I think she's gonna prove herself to be a little bit more real than a lot of them have been.
Yeah.
Like, Andy, to me, seemed, like, very pageanty, like, a, like, always said and did the right thing kind of girl, you know? And, like, yeah. Desiree, like, I think that Caitlin is, like, you can see on her face a little bit more when she's, like, what you're saying is stupid, you know? Like, she still is, like, being polite and is hiding it, but, like, I think that veneer is, like, I think she's... I could be wrong. She could be the same. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm ready for it to drop. I'm excited for her to get even more real. I feel like...
shit's gonna get
real. Yeah, a lot of the things that they're sort of cliffhangering mm-hmm. us on will make that happen. So, but yeah, so they had the rose ceremony, and then they had the first group date where Chris Harrison was, like, introduced... They had this bizarre sort of... montage of two sumo wrestlers tiptoeing into the house to wake everyone up with a gong.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And then they have to put on the outfits, and Chris Harrison is like, out of respect for this ancient sport, please wear the traditional garb. But like, the entire point of the date is sort of mockery.
Put on this fucking diaper out of respect for sumo wrestling tradition.
I don't know. And again, the other guys get to watch, which I guess is the thing.
This is interesting. He introduced these apparently very famous sumo wrestlers, and he was like, this is the largest man that's ever lived in Japan, a 600-pound Japanese sumo wrestler. And I was like, really? Like, is that, like, do you guys think that's true? That, like, the largest man in Japan is 600? There's probably, like, 10,000 people in America that are, like, more than 600 pounds living today.
So. Yeah.
I just can't imagine that there's not one Japanese dude that just, like, eats too many Cheetos and is sad and weighs more than 600 pounds. But that's what he said. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that... I don't know. The whole thing was really strange. And they had, like... that was when Tony the Healer really lost his shit. Like, because at first he got this real game face on, and he was, like...
Yeah, at first he was I'm gonna, like, do it. What turned? Was he, like, did he, like, perform badly?
Well, I watched it again, because I watched it again.
Phil was talking, Phil has a very loud voice, and he was talking a lot.
So was he talking about The Bachelor?
Just anything that came into his head. But, yeah.
Sea captaining. I know, he hates that, I'm just doing that.
I hope he never listens.
No, I hope he does. I love Phil, I just am trying to, like, you know, I like calling him the captain, because it makes me think... It makes me think that you guys have a Gillian thing happening. I don't know. I'm getting off track. But, so yeah, Tony hated the sumo wrestling. Mm-hmm. He, I think he got kind of tossed aside, and then he threw a tantrum. Mm. And he was like, why can't we, like, go on a boat ride or to the zoo or skydiving? Like, why does everything have to be fisticuffs? I'm a peacenik. Like,
he's just like, I just want to go on, like, why can't we go on a boat? He's like you, Megan.
I know. Like, why can't I've been wondering the same thing. I don't understand why there's so much sportsing and violence involved here. I want a house concert. Dual massages.
I don't want Train a beach to show walk. Up and start playing. I like where this is going.
It's not Train. It's like Train, like, train 8 years before they have
a band that sounds like Train that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so Tony's getting all upset about sumo wrestling, and then JJ confronts him. And this is when he's really starting to become the villain, like...
Oh, yeah. He's like... You're upsetting her, like, yeah. And I got captivated with that. Maybe it's just, like, this straight world dynamic or any world dynamic that I haven't, like, experienced too much of. But it's that, like, you're upsetting her. Like, we need to save her from all pain because she's a delicate flower who deserves nary a bit of your violence or aggression. And I started wishing that any time I had any kind of, like, tense interaction or any kind of struggle, like, someone would just jump into the room and, like, knock it out of the way and be like, you're upsetting her.
I would knock a bitch out, Megan, if anybody fucked with you. Oh, my God.
But, like, I mean, even on the day-to-day, like, somebody, like, raises their voice and you just jump in and be like, hey, boom.
Excuse You're me, upsetting her. Yeah. I feel like that's never happened for me, and I'm sad too.
We could do it for each other. We could just follow each other around waiting for people to instigate things.
Oh my God. I remember we were at the Golden Rose, and this, like, unknown heroin addict that is like a Hell's Angels guy that used to hang out. This is in Missoula, Montana. He like came up to our friend Kate Jaffe and said something. He got in her face or something. He called her a bitch or something. And I like stood up and I like puffed out my chest. I was like, what? And Kate Jaffe was like, oh my God,
you're the like best boyfriend ever. Yeah.
I was probably drunk. He was smaller than me. Like, I'm 6 feet tall. Like, I just wish I could get in more bar fights. But,
like, well,
I do sometimes, but it's never a fair fight. It's either an old man or, like, I could never hit a woman. Like, I would feel weird because, like, number one, I'd be afraid that I'd lose, and, like, that would be, like, horrible, and a man couldn't always beat me because, like, I don't know. Men have that, like, unearned man strength, but...
Yeah, I'm terrified that the world will one day ask me to throw a punch.
I went kickboxing today. I was inspired by Caitlin's date.
That's amazing. I kind of want to go with you, but I think I would be terrible at it.
You don't have to be good. You should have seen there's this girl that was, like, engaged. I don't even know why she was there. She was like, eh. Like, she was, like... barely punching the bag. It's like, why are you just like, go home? Like, you already have like a perfect body.
You're like, you're engaged. Like, you can let yourself go. You no longer have to work for this on the Bachelorette.
The only reason I bring up the fact that she's engaged. Oh, I'm talking about the kickboxing.
Tonight. Oh, she's engaged with the kickboxing.
I just like, the only thing I knew about her was she was there with her girlfriend, and like, she was like, oh, the wedding's next week. Like, I'm so busy. Like, that. I think she's just in fitness classes to prepare for the wedding.
Oh, I see.
This is really, this does not matter. All right,
So JJ and the healer seem to be coming out as these two crazies. And the healer, in fact, ends up leaving.
Yeah, he leaves.
He looks like a homeless man when he leaves. He, like, puts on, like, a poncho and, like, flip-flops and, like, a camouflage cap.
He's got one of those, like, reggae-style, like, pullover, like, sweaters with the hood or something.
Yeah, no, like, he's like, I'm leaving on my own terms. He has a little bit of a break, a little bit of a psychic break, and then, he just decides to leave on his own terms, but he is sort of, I wish they'd kept him around longer.
I was sad that he left, too. I was hoping that he would stick around. Caitlin was always like, I just want to, like, I know that he's a sensitive guy. I think that Caitlin understood his function on the show and was probably going to keep him around for a while, even though I'm pretty sure she wasn't attracted to him, you know?
Yeah. Like,
she gets it. She gets that we want to see the healer, but he's gone, so.
Yeah. But then, the next thing they had was the escape room date, which I think... actually, I've been to an escape room. I went to one in LA.
Explain to the people what it is.
So it's as far as I know, they're usually sort of like run a little bit under the radar. Like in LA, it was explained to me that there's like the Russian escape rooms, and ours was in fact run by just a young Russian man.
I kind of can't believe you agreed to do it. Like, don't you hate stuff like that?
As being a good sport and like. I also...
Was it with your partner?
Possibly. I also was... I think, like, it intrigued me. I'm up for anything that could be an interesting story. And so, like, this, like, 14-year-old Russian boy, like, met us and was in a building that did not look legit. And he was like, you have been drinking all night... You wake up in worst motel in city. You must get out. Like, that was it. And then he, like, shoved us in the room. And, like, so we went
through... Are you sure that wasn't just AWP Chicago?
That actually was my AWP Chicago. Oh, my God. Anyway. I'm surprised I lived through that.
That was fucking funny. You just don't know
it. I know. I can't tell anybody those stories.
And pointing to the recorder like, hey, people inside the recorder.
Oh, I thought it was a rough period of time in my life. But anyway, so Yeah, he's like, you wake up in your, you're at discotheque, you wake up in the worst motel in the city. We go in there, and for the next hour, you have to get out of this room. So there's, like, a bra, there's little things, like, loitered around. It's shaped like an old, or looks like an old bad motel room, and at some point, there's, like, a saucer with a piece of bread on it. At some point, we unlock something that had a toaster in it. We toasted the toast. There was a symbol on the toast. I looked behind a painting, and you could see into another room where there
was
a reflection.
Was it scary, or was it more like...
This wasn't scary. Uh-huh. But, so the one on the show was really scary.
Megan, I don't know if you caught it. Did you catch the disclaimer? And they just flashed on the screen
that the animals aren't usually involved.
Yeah, so, like, they open up the door to the escape room date, and, like, a fucking pigeon just, like, flies out, like, at Caitlin's face. Like, she's,
and horrified. I think, like, all of the, like, cockroaches, yeah, there's cockroaches, maggots.
There
and,
was, like, snakes.
And fucking snakes, like anacondas and cobras crawling around. Those are not in there.
I'm tough as shit, but, like, that would frighten me. Like,
this is also, like, you would fall in deepest love. Like,
I just think it sounds like the best date ever. Like, as good as the zombie laser tag, I'd say.
Oh, God. You probably like paintball, too, or something.
I would love... Paintballs hurt, but yeah.
I don't know. This is the difference, I think. It's like, I don't want to... Those are fun. Those are interesting activities. Oh my God. Yeah. The haunted houses where they scare you like you're really going to die.
Yeah. Oh man.
We could never date.
Oh, well, we just have to compromise. Like, you just have to fucking go on these awesome dates with me and I never go to your stupid surprise concerts. Like, what?
I'm trying to think of what the middle ground is. It's like a movie.
I can only watch so many Boy Next Doors. Like, oh, I love that shit, but there's a limit.
Oh God, I love a bad rom-com.
Stay tuned for our spinoff.
Yeah, that's a good call. So we've got this crazy escape room date where, I mean, at
so
some
who,
point he
who
has
was
to,
on the date?
It was Benzie, who I think. I mean, he's. Caitlin calls him a babe soda, which I've never heard that before, but I kind of like it.
Sounds
kind of
gross.
Like gross babe soda as reaching doesn't taste into good. Reaching into a vomit-filled toilet past several snakes to pick up a clue.
I mean,
which is something they actually do in the escape room.
All right, fine. I'd rather drink a babe soda than do that. It depends on what the clue says, what the reward is.
But yeah, so there's all this like, oh, he's a big, strong babe soda. He protects me. Which, yeah, that place was fucking scary.
And they make, and Caitlin during the date is like during the date, it's hard to like think that this man could possibly be my future husband because like, you know, there's too many distractions. But like, I think that Caitlin acknowledged that afterward it was hot and they like made out a lot.
Yeah,
the
they went in the hot tub. They went back to her place.
Oh, they went back to her place. Yeah. Yeah.
See, Phil was really distracting you.
No, I remember now, but uh-oh. Yeah. In my head, they were making out, like, in the room with, like, the snakes crawling around everywhere.
No, they did for a minute. That was one of the clues. It was like, you have to kiss now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
But so, okay, so... you're getting swept away on a dream of your...
She looks over, I'm, like, in reverie thinking about... going there with my fella someday.
One day.
It's not a fucking joke. I'm going to get off here, Google, like, what sort of
there's
weird
there's a few
fucking...
in Seattle.
Oh, man. I think that my ginger would like that. But we'll see.
So after that, then the final date was a group date. It was this weird...
I kind of don't even want to talk about this.
Yeah, it was super weird and awkward. It was like...
It was totally fake. Like, it was like a bunch of kid actors and like they just put them in an embarrassing situation where they had to like explain sex to like 12-year-olds. And it was just like, why would anybody think that this was real? I believed it was real. I was like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, so it was just weird. It made me long for the days of like train concerts. And
I agree that the sex ed date is a terrible date. That's not a date at all.
But I guess the big thing we also need to address is the bromance, is Clint, underwater photography Clint, and JJ. like, they are casting themselves, or the show is cast. They, I mean, Clint has said some specific things about how he makes it out like he is falling in love with JJ, and that's why he wants to stay on the show, and that they've gotten very close, and they have several scenes of them just sort of canoodling.
Like, just, like, hanging the fuck out, though. They're like, cannonball! And then, like, they're like, let's get in the hot tub after this, bro. And then they're, like, yeah, they're, like, picking, like scabs off body each other's shots. Backs in the, in yeah. the shower. Like, that's pretty intimate.
And Clint, like, explicitly says, he's like, I didn't expect to come on this.
Yeah, like, Clint explicitly says yeah. that he's fallen in love with JJ.
And he says it, but he trusts the process of the show, which is what, yeah, but I think that that's part of why I think it's sort of a, I love the idea of that happening, but I think it's a,
I mean, this is what put we, upon. This is all we've ever wanted, Megan and I, for the show to get gayer, and
yeah,
it's just like, we don't want it to be a fucking joke, or like, some sort of like, it does seem like, it doesn't seem like the other guys are. What's cool about it is that it's, at least not yet, nobody's like, ew. Yeah. Like, they're just like, oh, those two, like, they're like, bromance. They keep calling it a bromance. Like, bromance, like, those two. Like, I feel like if it were genuine and they were just, if they did just like each other, like, it would be, like, a sweet, nice moment on the show. And I wish it were like that instead of them being villains. But
yeah, like, there's this whole, like, Clint especially sort of walks around like an old-time villain, weirdly, and then...
What's the fucking game plan, though?
I don't know. He's like villains got a vill. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
like, what's the object of villing?
And the thing is, like, so they're starting to act sketchy together. It's really not clear what their plan is. And then, what's the welder's name?
Oh, Josh? Shoot.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The welder sort of tells on them, like, goes up to Caitlin and is like, Clint and JJ are like, they're up to no good, like, they're up to something, Clint's a total two-face, like, blah blah blah. And so, like, so the show sort of, like, ends on another cliffhanger of Caitlin being like, I have to confront Clint, because, like, mm-hmm. this is not cool. Like, moments before, Clint had, like, come over and, like, kissed Caitlin and been like, remember the magic of our first date and stuff. Like,
and he was casting it to the show that he needs to stay on to be with JJ. But yeah. Meanwhile, JJ keeps talking about, like, keeps doing this, like, we're the big dogs thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we're the big men. Let the separate the men from the boys, which, I don't know. JJ, I just find so yeah. gross.
JJ, it's not clear to me, and I think to anyone yet, like, whether he's, like, reciprocating the feelings, or if these are, if they're real, like, if they yeah. really are.
I hope they are, but I doubt it. And then there's this, like, really disturbing kind of cliffhanger where they just show, I think it's JJ, they show JJ and Clint fighting, and then JJ, like, summoning up all of his, you know, big dogness, and then slapping himself in the face, and this, like, very...
Stupid.
Oh, it's awful. It's like, what scares me most about, like, traditional masculinity is those kinds of things.
Man, you should spend more time dating dudes, because they'll just, like, they're so funny. Like, they'll get mad about something, and they'll be like, man, they'll, like, throw something.
That's
like,
awful.
Like, stomp out of the room, or, like...
That's like, terrible. Oh my god.
Sometimes they get mad and they don't know how to, they don't understand their feelings.
Some of the women in my past did that. And it, oh, it's just
awful.
Well,
you date really butch women, so.
It was awful. Like, it's awful when that happens. It's scary.
I mean, like, there's a female equivalent, like, some sort of, like, hissy fit. And I'm like, and I don't mean to gender it. Like, I'm sure a girl would maybe throw something, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't deal well with, like, handling people's emotions when I can't just tend their sadness, you know?
Yeah. Like, when somebody's sports team loses, you're just like, snap out of it.
I know. Get a grip.
Like, shut up. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
All right. So yeah, the bromance remains a mystery at this point. And yeah, that's the way that they ended episode... Three? Yeah.
Yeah, I am really I really can't wait till next week. I don't know about you.
Can't wait to see.
And I'm interested, like, in if they ramp up the romance more.
I think Nick is probably going to show up next week, but I could be wrong. Yeah. Seems like Nick is the guy from a previous season that is just going to be here for some reason. Hopefully we'll get an update on Britt, although maybe it's just like...
They just went to the love heaven and they're there forever.
Free hugs forever. Or they're going to fuck up.
What predictions do you have?
Man, you know,
It's just like there's so many spoilers and misdirections when it comes to like the next up that I just don't even want to guess. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I think the welder. The welder doesn't seem to. She was saying something about the welder, how like he's moving too slow. He's like, I've never been in love. Like he's
a total. He's coming across a little too much of LaRube, I think. You know, they always show him in his plaid shirt, being like, hey, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he might get friend zoned pretty soon. So that might be a prediction to let go of.
Benzie is my new. I mean, the dentist was one of my.
I think the dentist is gonna go far. I think Benzie is gonna go far.
Yeah, right now Benzie is my.
Sean. The Ryan Gosling looking guy, he still hasn't had his moment in the sun. Like, he's really just been hanging back.
But she gave him the rose again on this, I think. Or she gave him a rose again?
Well, I mean, he...
A first... Yeah, I don't know. She still really likes him.
She still really likes him, but he hasn't really, like, done much. And in my...
He needs a date.
Yeah, I think he might win.
Really?
He might win the
show. Whoa, you just went into, like, savant mode.
I was just remembering back to Andy's season, Josh, I remember he was a real, like, slow burner. Like, I remembered the way that he acted on the whole show, and it just really seemed like he was, like, quiet and cool and, like, was really good about not getting involved in all the drama and everything. Like, it's the guys that are always, like, trying too hard, like, do a lot of shit to impress them and, like, just really, like, blah, 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 oh, check this shit out and this thing and blah. Like, they make it so far, but then they never, like, go all the way. So the guys that, like, this, like... slow and steady wins the race, man. Like on Sean's season, Catherine, like, she was, like, barely a player until, like, the, like, final quarter of the show. Same with Becca, who didn't get that far, but, like, she didn't really stand out in the beginning, so, like, although Sean has a first impression rose, so this isn't really following my theory. It could be somebody that we're not even paying attention to right now.
Yeah, there's a couple of people there, which is kind of blurry.
It's still, like, I mean, there's still fucking, like, 15 dudes, or, like, 12, yeah. I don't even know how many, but, like, too many for us to hold in our heads at once, so... I don't know.
Well, next week, I think it's going to be a game changer. I mean,
it always is.
Oh,
man. This was tough, Megan. It was a rough week for us. We're exhausted. We've been working so hard at, like, our, like, stupid jobs.
Yeah. And, like, attending our lives.
Yeah. I know. I had... too much water this weekend. I drank a lot of glasses of water. I'm gonna drink a little bit more
after this. But we've got a little bit of a respite here to, like, gather ourselves before the big reveal next time.
Mm-hmm. We'll try to get on a more consistent schedule, but no fucking promises. What, like, hi, Alice. The other three people that are listening right now. I don't know. You made it this far.
We're going to have to start giving out prizes. Maybe that's the thing. Although that didn't work too well with your Oscar show.
I never sent out the prizes. I just forgot.
Oh my gosh. Well, do you want to give any updates? Anything?
Nothing new with me. DogHatesFilm.com. MollyLaitch.com, that's my blog. I'm going to post a new very personal blog post sometime this week, so look out for that. But, I mean, like, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you already know about my fucking blog, so whatever.
I'm looking forward to the personal podcast. I mean, the personal blog. I'm paying full attention as well.
Dude, everybody loves my feelings so much.
I love your feelings. Well, you can tune in next week. We are Megan Cruz, Molly Leitch. Molly Leitch or Megan Cruz.
Call Me Home by Megan Cruz. Hawthorne Press.
Hawthorne Books.
Hawthorne Books.
I messed it up last time.
I just saw that they merged with Zank.
DeZank. Yeah, they just merged with DeZank.
What's up? Ann Arbor, Michigan.
So it's all coming together now, full circle. But we will see you next week. We will be brighter.
I just wanted you guys to know that we read books, too. We don't just watch The Bachelorette.
And read Us Weekly.
I really thought it was Us Weekly my entire life.
It might be. So embarrassing. I'll be more embarrassed if it is. But
I'm almost sure that I'm wrong. Goodbye.
Bye.